The Second Curve: Thoughts on Reinventing Society. Author: Charles Handy. The Paradigm Shift. Many of our assumptions about how our lives work are being turned upside down by new technologies and new values. Forget for a moment the big dramas of international affairs. It is our daily lives that are going to change the most. Society is out of balance. Power is unequally distributed. In business, the information economy is turning into a winner-takes-all one, where the likes of Amazon, Facebook, and Google dominate and gobble up any daring newcomer. We need to challenge orthodoxy, dream a little, think unreasonably, and dare the impossible if we're going to have any chance of making the future work for all of us, not just those favored few. That was the origin of the thinking behind the principle of the second curve. The message of the second curve is to move forward in many areas of life. It is sometimes necessary to change radically, to start a new course that will be different from the existing one, often requiring a whole new way of looking at familiar problems, what Thomas Kuhn called a paradigm shift. The second curve. What is it? How do we find it? The sigmoid curve is a mathematical concept. It is the line of all things human, of our own lives, of organizations and businesses, of governments, empires and alliances, and of democracy itself and its many and varied institutions. In each case, there is, or was, an initial period of investment, a period when the input exceeds the output. Then, as results begin to show and glimmers of progress emerge, the line moves up. If all goes well, it continues to rise, but the time comes when, inevitably, the curve peaks and begins its descent. The nasty and often fatal snag is that the second curve has to start before the first curve peaks. Only then there are enough resources of time, money, and energy to cover the first initial dip, the investment period. First curve success can blind one to the possibilities of a new technology or a new market, allowing others to seize the initiative. Steve Jobs of Apple was, by all accounts, a difficult man to work with, but he was the master of the second curve. By the time the Macintosh computer was a proven success, Jobs and his creative team were already planning to enter the music business with the iPod. When that product began to dominate the market, Jobs had already begun to design the iPhone, a new product for very different business, that was followed, once successful, by the iPad. Each new curve was conceived before the last one peaked. The DIY Society. Does technology change the world? Is it for better or worse? The computer, followed by the internet and all its offshoots, has given us freedom, but freedom with consequences. One of those consequences is the dislocation of the middle orders in the structures of commerce and society as individuals use their new freedom to bypass them, leaving organizations stranded by a new road. That's the bad news, and it does not sound much like freedom. The good news is the power that individuals now have, with which they can use those bypasses to manage their own lives. It is becoming a do-it-yourself economy. Not only can we buy books online, but also we can publish our own. The dilemmas of growth. Is more always better? Growth allows, theoretically, choice for all, progress for all, and success of some sort for all. Yet growth that comes from improved productivity can result in unemployment as technology replaces people in the workplace. Having robots in place of people does not sound like progress for humanity. In the endless pursuit of more, whatever is more, we make ourselves slaves to our ambitions, to which there is, in theory, no end. All political careers end in failure, it is said, unless one leaves before the end, calling it enough, and goes on to other things. A business cannot grow exponentially forever. It becomes too big to manage satisfactorily, breaks itself up, or is broken up, and reorganizes and refocuses on new directions. It can be more satisfying, and often more profitable, to grow different rather than bigger. This is the premise behind the second curve, that different is more fruitful than more of the same. The new management. Why is it needed? What is it? Mass production organizations are too expensive, too draining to work in, too cumbersome, too complicated, and often, too big. We need a second curve of management thinking that provides a new model and resolves the following confusions. First, management may be the glue that holds society and organizations together, but it is leadership that decides where they are going. Too much management and too little leadership creates a kind of organizational anomy that the surveys throw up. Second, trust is cheaper, but control is safer, or so we think. Third, it is the difference between efficiency and effectiveness. They should be the same, but in practice, they work differently. Efficiency starts from the input, and while effectiveness works back from the end results. The Ponzi Society. Are we drowning in debt? What are the consequences? In his novel Martin Chuzzlewit, Charles Dickens tells how Motag Tigg starts an insurance company with no funds at all. The Anglo-Bengali Loan and Life Insurance Company paid out the claims of the early policyholders from the premiums coming in from early entrants. It is not known whether Charles Ponzi in the United States read Dickens, but his own scheme based on the arbitrage of international reply coupons, followed by the same principle, diverting any new income to early investors and to himself. When the scam collapsed in 1920, the sums involved were so large that Ponzi has given his name to all subsequent schemes. How odd, then, that what was called the fraud of the century should be the common practice in much of society today. Take the state pension scheme in Britain, for example. The state pension scheme in Britain is unfunded, as it is in most countries. That was not the original intention. Back in 1942, William Beveridge had wanted a contributory scheme, with people getting back at the end with what they had put in. But it was soon obvious that the startup would leave existing pensioners in the cold. So it was quickly changed by a pay-as-you-go system, similar to the way pensions are paid in most other countries, with provisos that require you to have paid contributions for specified periods of time. The Just Society. What is fair? The real inequality and unfairness in modern capitalism is going to be the lack of meaningful work for the less skilled and less talented among us. Robots of one sort or another will deal with much of the routine work. A lot more will be outsourced to cheaper sources of labor abroad. There will be much less for the less skilled worker to do. Hairdressing is an example that could not be sent abroad or replaced by a computer, until an executive from Google argued that a machine was in development that would shape your hair to your design when replaced over your head. The schools of the future. The family has to be the first school. In other words, the components of education for capability are all there in the family, waiting to be developed. By example, as much as by design. Unfortunately, we cannot assume that all families will be good exemplars. Schools are too often left to make good the deficiencies. The first stage of the second curve in education, therefore, should be to find a way to help parents live up to their responsibilities as heads of the first school for life. Pontificating about a better society is easy, but to make it happen, it has to start with us, with what we see as our own sequence of curves in life. What are we prepared to do, contribute, in order to get to where?